Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Before we begin, if you like what you hear on Mile High Report Radio Podcast, don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and go ahead and click subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
Well, Broncos country is in for some great crack today as we have Michael McQuaid from Broncos Europe and the Irish NFL show, which are both separate podcasts, but both of which every Broncos fan should check out. You can follow him at Michael C. E-U-R on Twitter. And for the first time, we welcome in Michael. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Lads, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for bringing me on.
Yeah, I mean, it's been kind of a fun thing to watch. I always say this, we had Colm on before. He was great on the show. And Ian was telling me, and I'm going to throw Ian under the bus a little bit here. Sorry, Ian, I can't wait to do this. He said when Colm came on, he said, you know, he's got a thick accent, thick Irish accent. You know, we'll be fine. He said when Michael comes on, he's got a very thick accent. You might have to like sort of. I was like, I gotcha. I can handle the accents if necessary. So if one of us says, huh, just keep running. No worries.
Oh, yeah. Like, look, personally for me, I think Colm's accent is shocking in comparison to mine. But look, of course, if you don't understand anything, just say, look, we haven't a clue and we'll go on. But look, this has happened a lot. There's been players looking at us like, what are you talking about? So it happens a lot. It's all good.
All right, so
yeah, I think it's hilarious that Adam threw me under the bus.
I couldn't resist. Ian didn't know I was going to do that either. I did not. Just tossed.
But it's hilarious. I tried. I've watched enough of Outlander where I think I have it figured out. I mean, it's Scottish and Irish, but it's still thick accents. So I'm getting better.
I mean, like I can't even describe my accent. It's a bit like Rory McIlroy's. But then Rory McIlroy now lives in Miami, so it's like he's lost his accent almost. But it's a very weird country in the sense if you go five miles or 10 kilometers down the road, everybody's got a different accent. So yeah, you might sound like this 10 miles down the road, but then up here, it's ridiculous.
It doesn't take long to change the accent. All right, so I always ask this question as well of people who I think football fans, American football fans, have this notion that American football is ours, right? It's an American sport. I spent a year living in Europe and didn't watch any football. This was back in 99 and 2000. And so I didn't know anybody who knew anything about football. But then you talk to people like yourself who are huge football fans. Where does that come from? When really the sport that you should be loving is soccer or hurling or, you know, I mean, there's so many other options in Europe, but you've landed on American football.
You're completely right. I mean, like, look, I'm a massive soccer or like, I guess we call it football, but it's even more messed up here in Ireland. Gaelic football is football. soccer is soccer, and then American football, yeah, American, that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, look, I'm a massive soccer fan. Of course I am. That's, for me, that is, I guess, Europe's sport to an extent. Why am I an American football fan? Never mind a Broncos fan for a start. College. That's the honest answer. College, late nights. And then it suddenly became very evident to me, you know, obviously you get football around you or soccer around Europe until about 9 or 10 at night. And then suddenly, wow, there's these guys in pods playing like what I would call like hardcore rugby. So we just got into it. And then it all just sort of started there. But like for me, I never really took it seriously. So for example, the first game I actually watched was it the Saints against the Colts in the Super Bowl? 2009, if I'm correct?
Yep, uh-huh, yeah.
Yep. That was my first year in uni. I'm embarrassed now because that didn't seem too long ago for me. That's like a lifetime ago. But got into it there, and then I actually just spent that off season just researching different teams and going, right, I'm gonna get into this, thinking that I'll get into it for a couple of weeks, and you know, nothing will come of it. But sure, look at me now, 12 years later. I mean, it worked out in that sense.
Right, and I believe we've heard it called Column calls it an affliction. Is it an affliction for you as well, where you can't miss it, you're up all hours, that kind of thing?
Oh yeah, like it doesn't matter who's playing on Thursday night, I'll be lying in bed. So the game on Thursday night here is at like 1:20, 1:30 it starts out here. So for me, my rule usually is if it's at midnight, I can struggle through it. So for example, that Avs game, like the Avs games are usually about midnight or so, I can struggle through that. But man, if it's, well, back in the day now when they were bad, but if it was the Browns against the Bengals or the Jags against, I guess, the Browns, I would watch it on Thursday Night Football. I'd be like, right, I'm watching this. Football's back for the week. Yeah, I watch Anaheim, but we're sort of spoiled here. So, like, for example, we get Red Zone for free and cable and stuff, and we get a lot of games on. And then, obviously, we're very spoiled because we've got 4 games a year in London, which is, I mean, I can understand why Americans would be annoyed at that, because that's a whole different conversation, I think, for a different podcast.
In terms of the Broncos, before we get into the current iteration of it, what is your favorite Broncos moment since you became a fan?
Well, the reason I became a fan was Tebow against the Jets, which is going to sound ridiculous, but that's a whole different conversation.
No, that's a great reason. I mean, Tebow, and listen, just to, not to cut you off, but people who listen to this podcast know how I feel about Tim Tebow, and I have no affection for him. I think he was a terrible quarterback. I can't stand the guy, but Tebow mania was incredible, and so I think you're right to talk about that Jets game in particular. Go for it.
I just remember my reaction when we won the game. I was just going, this is class. And then I had actually read up on the Broncos the previous, like I said, about reading up in the offseason, and obviously Pat Bowlen, what he'd done for the game internationally. So it was very much in my mind, and I was watching previous Super Bowls, was aware of Elway and stuff, and I was like, do you know what? Right, I'm going to go buy a Tebow jersey. And that was a good decision to make. I got charged $40 in customs. And look, I was all in, obviously, as well. Like, you know, you're asking there again about my favorite moment. For me, it's not Santa Clara. For me, it's, in my lifetime of being a Broncos fan, it's Roby against the Patriots. That moment when, I I've seen my, like, soccer teams or different teams get to the pinnacle of their sport, and it means, like, the world. But that was, like, I wish I was at the stadium, because you could, like, I was sitting in Spain in a bar watching it, and you could hear the noise. It's just immeasurable. But that moment, I think whenever the ball was tipped and he intercepted it, I was like ecstatic. But once it actually calmed down for me, I was like, man, we're winning the Super Bowl. Like, I don't care how many points Cam Newton's gonna score against the Cardinals. So that's how I got it. Like, that's how I got into it. That's, to be honest, my favorite moment so far. I hope we can have half as good a moment as that next year. I pray.
Half.
Let's flip it around a little bit. What has been the worst moment?
Oh. Oh, God. Right. So I want to confirm this. Just let me know if I'm wrong here. 2017 was the year that we could blew out against the Eagles, yeah?
Yes.
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 That sounds right.
I was sitting and I drove over to my friend's house, and me and him, he's a big Patriots fan, were going to Sunday Night Football, or it was a game at, I don't know, I was going to say 9:25 or 2:25 Mountain. the following Sunday. So I packed my bags, drove over to his house because we were going to Dublin Airport straight after Sunday Night Football. And I'm watching the Broncos get destroyed by the Eagles, thinking to myself, I'm about to get a flight to Vegas here. I go into Denver in 2 days and I have to go and watch this. That Eagles moment for me was just, it had to be the worst. It was almost that realization of we're not that team anymore. And it hurt very badly. It took me a long time to get over that, to be honest.
Yeah, that was, I think that's a good one, because that was a moment where we're sort of post Super Bowl 2015, feeling like they're going to turn it around. That game, you're right, it was one where you go, oh, they're not going to turn it around. We're just going to keep driving straight here. Turn left or something, fellas. Yeah, it's been a rough few years. We've been talking about that a lot. And so I guess that what that really leads us into this offseason, knowing where the Broncos were sort of projected to be in the 2020 season, with sort of the high hopes around Drew Lock and what he had done with the last few games of the 2019 season, and the fact that it sort of felt like, you know, another year with Vic Fangio, the defense is pretty good. Now we've got Drew Lock, we've got these young weapons. 2020 to me was a pretty huge letdown. I don't think I am sort of saying anything that's shocking, but now going into the 2021 season, as we are here in the offseason, what are your thoughts on what's happening in Broncos country and with the Denver Broncos and all the rumors around what's going on with the quarterback situation? Like, are you someone who feels like they should just be rolling with Lock and seeing if they can make it work? Or are you hoping, like many of us out there, that they just do what they can to bring in a guy like a Deshaun Watson?
You've touched on so many points there. Like, you know, talking about last season being a massive letdown. I was at the Bears game the year before that, Flacco. I mean, I thought it couldn't get worse than that, to be honest. Like, flying out there for that. Last season was very disappointing. It really, really was for Adam. I'm going to start that there. But going into the season and what we expect, I'm very much in my head changing my mind about the quarterback situation every day. Part of me feels like Drew Lock deserves a normal season, like a non-COVID season where he actually has enough time to prep. But the reality is that's not going to happen this year. Like, I personally think the NFL is going to be virtual to the hilt. I think there won't be any London games, which would be funny because that will be the second year in a row where the Broncos are due to play and it's going to be hit for us. But then as well, you know, does Lock deserve 7 or 8 games? Because if we give him that time and he plays well or shows another level that he can go to, then it may have worked. But the reality is, if he doesn't do that, and it doesn't look like he is going to do that at the minute, then why would we waste another season? If you're going to bring somebody like Peyton in on a 5-6 year deal, then why sit there with Drew Lock? Or at least bring a veteran in. I would be, at the minute, I guess I'll talk about Deshaun Watson at that, you know, properly in a second, but I personally think they'll bring a veteran in. I would be shocked if they go out and draft another quarterback. I mean, I don't think any of us will forget the night that the Broncos went for Paxton Lynch. I mean, that was great crack. Like, boys, I'm not gonna lie, that was a good laugh that night. But I just can't see the Broncos going out and drafting a quarterback in the draft. So you can soundbite that in 2 months' time when that happens. But right now, I mean, I think you'll see. Do you know what? If you give me Fitzpatrick, because Fitz is loved over here, like UK, Ireland, he really, and it's not the beard, it's, I wouldn't mind seeing Fitzpatrick have a go. I mean, he's not an elite quarterback to the sense he's going to take you to the Super Bowl next year or something, but I want the Broncos to bring somebody in that's going to make Drew Lock sit up and go, oh, okay, right. It's now or never. Because if you give him the time, look at what Josh Allen's done. Like, the Bills have seriously impressed me this year, or I guess last year now, but I guess time will tell.
So you're all in on a little Mile High Fitz magic. That's your thought there. Okay. I like
that. There's your storyline there.
Yeah. Michael McQuaid wants Mile High Fitz magic. Yeah. I'm trademarking Mile High Fitz magic, by the way. I've been waiting to say it on the show for a while so I could drop a trademark on that. I think I would, if the Broncos, I'm going to sort of jump in on that there. If the Broncos were unable to acquire a Deshaun Watson through trade, because I've made no secret about where my feelings are. I want them to try and get Deshaun Watson. I would be happy if they traded for Russell Wilson. I would be ecstatic if they traded for pretty much anybody at this point. But if they can't, I think you're right. I think a veteran quarterback to push Drew Lock is the better way to go than to try and draft somebody. Like, I don't see them trading up in the draft to get one of the top quarterbacks, and I don't see any of those top quarterbacks falling to 9 anyway. So, yeah, Mile High fits Magic and Drew Lock if it's not Deshaun Watson. But, you know, Deshaun Watson would be the preference there.
Look, Ian, I can't remember what you said last week on our show. I'm at the point now where I'm thinking, like you literally wake up in the morning here, and of course Colorado's going to bed with a time difference, and you're seeing everybody sit in bed laughing, like, let's get Deshaun. And I'm going, oh man, let's get him. Like, at this point, I would sell the farm. I'm just going to be honest. Like, why not give? I seen a trade that was on Pro Football Focus are all over the Broncos at the minute. I see all these like memes and stuff. I seen a trade last night where, like, is it Bradley Chubb, a first rounder this year, a second rounder this year, maybe a first rounder the year after, and a second rounder the year after, and potentially somebody else. You're hearing whisperings of maybe the Texans looking somebody like Noah Fant. I mean, I like Noah. I don't know. I would love to see Deshaun come to us in a way where it suited us all, you know. But it's going to be very interesting, and I think something that's, like, it will set the marker for this whole, like, for this whole period. But I don't know, like, what's going to happen with this whole Deshaun Watson situation. Like, I think it's either going to happen very quickly, or else he's going to hold out for a year. Who knows what's going to happen?
That's the whole point. Like I said on your guys' show last week, I have the feeling, like I did with Peyton Manning, where it just feels like it's going to happen. And I joked that, I don't know if that's because I were so starved for great quarterback play that we're reaching out for any possible hope. But there is a difference. Like, Peyton Manning was a free agent. Deshaun Watson is a member of the Texans. He has a no-trade clause, but the Texans have to start fielding calls for there to be any kind of movement in that direction. And it seems like they're not in that mode yet. So, but I like I said with you, it feels like this is going to happen. And whether or not it does, we'll see. But I think that's where everyone is at. And we've talked about sports betting. And sports betting is, obviously, you've joked on your show in the past that you can literally bet on anything in Europe. What do you make of sports books like FanDuel and Betfred, which is based out of England? What do you make of the sports books making the Broncos the favorite to get Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I was honestly like, and I know it's intriguing to see how sports books are growing, especially in Colorado at the moment, especially because over here it's ingrained in every aspect of sport. Believe me, it really is. Over here at the minute, he's 13-8 on. I have no idea what that means in your odds, but he's odds on to be playing for the Broncos. Now, the last time we spoke, Ian, he was odds on, albeit quite close to the Broncos, odds on to be staying in Houston. That's shocking. I can't believe that. So maybe it's making me start to feel like that there. But to see, obviously, you're talking about Betfred there and seeing DraftKings as well, starting to obviously mention the Broncos, there has to be some smoke behind that fire. It can't just be about how much people are waging on it. I think there is some, like, there obviously is always going to be that talk behind the scenes in the off season to try and keep that momentum, try and keep that story going. But personally, you know, if you look at the teams that Deshaun Watson could go to, the Broncos are a good fit because they've got the youth and they've got the talent there. It's almost like you're changing the wheels on the bike a little bit. If you get it to the right point, then it's going to work. So, look, lads, if Mr. Biden opens the border and we get Deshaun Watson, it could be a very long year for me in Denver. That's all I'm going to say.
I'll say that the 13-8 odds that you mentioned, it typically means 38% probability of it happening.
Oh, man. And now I'm getting my hopes up. It's like, you know, it's like you ask your parents for a Christmas present and you just hope that they remember. I'm shocked because, like, in terms of, like, the same, like, the main sports book for NFL over here is Sky Bet. And in terms of other, like, players' moves, they've got JJ Watt going to the Browns, stuff like that there. But there's no real standout bet. And that one on Sean Watson is the actual standout, and that's the first time I've seen that. So I'm shocked.
Just,
yeah.
Just to get to let the listeners know, Betfred and FanDuel both moved the Broncos to the favorite late last week to plus 150. DraftKings has moved it to plus 400. And I've joked with Adam, when Jeremy Fowler made that report that the Broncos were in, or Deshaun Watson was intrigued by the Broncos, and I said this on your guys' podcast, when that report came out, I wanted to get on DraftKings because they had him at plus 1,200 to get Deshaun Watson. And I waited too long. And they had already moved it to plus 500. And now it's plus 400.
It's all about timing. Come on, Ian, jump on it. All right. So, you know, I will sort of second that before we move on here. The sports books don't lose money. That's the other thing that I think is really if they lost money, they'd be out of business. So they must know something, and they do something right, right? The house never loses, that kind of deal. So that's the thing that maybe helps us all get our hopes up. The problem with getting your hopes up is when you ask for that really nice bike at Christmas and you end up with a scooter, that's usually the disappointment right there. So hopefully...
Or a bunny outfit.
Or a bunny. You don't want the
it's
bunny
like
outfit.
Or Carvalho's putting challenge in The Simpsons. It's whenever Bart asked for the game and he got the golf game and he was all disappointed.
That's
right. That's how I feel about this at the minute. But like, seriously, nobody over... Like, in terms of the analysts, so it, like, there is quite a big scene now for the NFL over here. We have our own channel, which is ridiculous. It's fantastic. Nobody's talking about the Broncos, about Deshaun Watson. The Broncos have almost over here disappeared to the extent because if you're not a player over here now, you're not really seen on TV that much unless it's primetime television in the States, so it has to be shown. No one's talking about the Broncos, so I think it would be a shock over here if we got him, and it would be like a game changer for that division, boys. It would be unbelievable. I think Patrick Mahomes would be having a few sleepless nights, and it wouldn't be for his newborn baby. So.
And we'd be okay with that too. Let him stay up at night. That's fine. Let him stay up at night. All right. So we can't just talk about the quarterback situation. I mean, we could talk about the quarterback situation all day, but we probably shouldn't. What are some other things that you see going on with the Broncos this offseason that they either need to address, that you hope that they will take care of? You know, for example, the Justin Simmons situation, I think is a bit of a standout situation. What do you see in that, with what's going on with the Broncos just overall with their sort of off season situation?
I think going on your first point there, Justin Simmons, I think if he isn't in a Broncos uniform by, I was going to say week one, if he isn't confirmed to be in a Broncos uniform by the start of June, and I'm pushing it, I'm being quite prudent there. I think I'd be as a fan, I'd be fuming. Like, you know, what more can he do? Both on and off the field, he deserves. Give him whatever he wants. I would honestly be very disappointed if he didn't stay. I can understand if there was a better opportunity for him personally, for himself, but the team should be finding the way to keep him. Obviously, Peyton has one of the first calls he made was to Simmons, so you would sort of hope that would happen. And obviously, the day of this recording is when teams can start tagging. So who knows? I guess it remains to be seen. I would be one where I'd like to see Shelby Harris back, but I'm just biased because everybody over here loves Shelby Harris, but he's a great player. I mean, like, we're talking here, and we talked there about the year we won the Super Bowl. Like, there's barely anybody left. We like, Simmons is, and you said it last week, Ian, like, Simmons probably is the leader of this team now. I think that's a very fair point. He really is. And you need to keep guys like Shelby Harris as well. Now, in terms of the running game, I am concerned because all whispers would point to maybe Lindsay not getting another season. And that would make me think, you know, what's the plan there? Are they going to draft somebody? You know, you're seeing guys, I mean, I wouldn't mind, like, is it Najee Harris from Alabama coming in, something like that there? But, you know, like, you can't, like, I mean, the whole prospect of Lindsay, where he's from, what he's done for this team, the fact that he was undrafted, came in, I would be really annoyed if he wasn't playing for us next year. Like, I mean, I would prefer, and maybe it's my heart talking over my head here, I would prefer to have Lindsay playing instead of a guy like Melvin Gordon. Don't get me wrong. I think on paper it's good to have those two guys, but it looks like Philip Lindsay, you know, I don't know what's going to happen there. I mean, off the field, ownership. I don't want to say the old word. It's like a bit like saying Voldemort, but I mean, it needs to be sorted. I'm presuming that Peyton's got the go-ahead to hopefully be in that position after the takeover's over, whatever. But it's a huge season both on and off the field for the Broncos. That's why I would like to see some sort of consistency on the field, signs of improvement, regardless if we got Deshaun Watson or not. But then also off the field, seeing some sort of movement there, because I feel once that is then concluded, we can move on and take it from there. And I'm hoping that all the dominoes fall into place.
The big name that is out there too is Von Miller. What happens with Von Miller? And it's so funny that we're doing this, because it's literally what you guys asked me last week, and now I'm asking you. But what happens with Von Miller and the Broncos?
Honestly, I think he doesn't play another game for us. That's me being completely honest. I know I'm saying it on this high Broncos country podcast. I am really concerned, guys. Like I said, Philip Lindsay there now. I just, something tells me a deal's not going to get done. But then you see, and he deleted his Instagram posts, and then he didn't, and it looks like he might be more focused now. I mean, it's all going to come down to money. If anybody knows me personally, I'm a real pessimist. I just don't
sound like Adam.
Yeah. I am also a pessimist. This is true.
Should they find a way to keep him? Yeah. I mean, it would be a shame if he was to go. You could see him ended up in like Indianapolis or something, I think. And that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, he's definitely on the block, right? He's one of those, you know, they released AJ Boye. It looks like Jarrell Casey's on the list of people who are potentially going to be cut. I think that's a cut that makes sense. And Von Miller's cap hit is so big, unless they restructure and they figure out a way to keep him in Denver. I think I'm kind of with you there, Michael. I don't see how he can stay in Denver at the price that he's at right now. And that is disappointing, because I think most people in Broncos country would agree that he's the type of player that you'd like to have spend his entire career in Denver and then retire as a Bronco. And he's meant so much to this franchise since the moment he was drafted that it would be a disappointment. But the other thing that you have to remember, and we all sort of, you know, go back to this, football's a business and the idea is to win games. And quite frankly, he's not winning football games for the Broncos right now. And if you can use that money and allocate it in places where they can gain some wins, you have to look at it, and you have to do it. He would look weird in an Indianapolis. Like, I was trying to picture him wearing 58 with like a blue Colt. Like, that's backwards. You don't go backwards. Colts get older. You know, Broncos don't get younger. That's weird.
And he's only 31. Now, I'm 30 on Friday, so, you know, I'd like to consider him young in that sense, but he's got another, like, let's be prudent again. He's got another 3 or 4 years left in this league. 3 years, let's say, medium there. Like, he has another run in him if he can capture that form again. A guy like him, a guy that we will look back at him in 20, 25 years' time as the epitome of that generation. So for me, it would be unfortunate if he went, and I would like to see him stay personally. And I don't want to throw the kitchen sink at him, but, you know, give him whatever he wants, as long as it's acceptable to both the short-term and long-term goals of the franchise.
We've talked about potential moves they could make. In terms of the draft, is there something that you have in mind or a player you would like them to get, that if they stay put at number 9, if they don't use that pick to get Deshaun Watson?
The pessimist in me again thinks that the Broncos will trade down. I'm joking. It's just anytime I've set up, I remember the first time, I can't remember what year it was, the first time I set up to watch the draft, I'm not an American, I'm watching the draft going, so what is this? Like, what's going on here? Oh, yeah, finally. And they traded down. So that means I've set up for 3 hours and it's 3 a.m. Okay, right. But I think this is the year where the Broncos, if they don't trade up, they need to stay at 9 again. It all fell into place last year when we got Judy, and it worked out very, very well. You know, like, I'm not going to lie, I was buzzing when that happened. Time will tell if that was the right move or not long term. I like to see us get a guy like, is it Caleb Farley? Caleb is the first name from, is it Virginia Tech quarterback? If we did stay at 9, I mean, you're looking at a guy that he's built like a brick house, we'd say over here. He's got huge size in that sense, but he looks very comfortable in what he can do as well. Now, the only thing I'd say about him, and I might be wrong, is he sat out the last season. Now, I know for like there's a lot of players that didn't play last year because of COVID, or looking at the quarterbacks, the top five quarterbacks in the draft, two or three of them only played one or two games last season. So it's an issue across the board. But looking at a guy like Farley, he's got very good balance and control, and you could see him use his speed as well. And that's something that we need, I think, and it's something that we've been missing for a while. So if I was sitting, if I was Peyton, it's weird to even say this, if I was Peyton and not Elway sitting at nine, I would go for a guy like Farley, try and get that edge back on the team.
Yeah, that's a good direction. Are there positions that you're concerned about that you would like them to address either through free agency or the draft that are not quarterback? Again, I always going to preface it with that are not quarterback, right? Because that's where we are right now. But are there a few positions that you look at and go, okay, this is a position group that has to be focused on?
I think it's interesting in that sense. The only one that really stands out to me at the minute, because I'm just trying to, like, I'm very sort of like biased, you know, towards the offense. Running back. I think if you have a situation there, obviously there's issues with Melvin Gordon off the field at the minute. Philip Lindsay obviously has been talking as well. If it's free agency, if it was the draft, I think running back is going to be very important for this team. You know, get that consistency. You know, we need a running back that can help, not just in first down or second down, but on all three downs. So if we need to bring somebody in that sense, yeah, I'm going to go back then, and I'm going to, you know, violate your question there, but quarterback. we need to bring somebody in. If they need to bring somebody in the sixth round in the draft, I hope it doesn't come to that, but who knows what's going to happen. I would be shocked. I can't wait to see, I'm just being personal here, I can't wait to see where Mac Jones lands in the draft.
I think I saw a mock today that put Mac Jones at Carolina, like Carolina drafted him, which I think I would like that. Because that would mean that they did not trade for Deshaun Watson. And so I'm good on that. That makes me happy.
Something tells me Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Oh. I don't know.
Which means Ben Roethlisberger is...
Well, paid. he's in for some amount of money next year. But look, that's the beauty of it. Like, this is probably the best, and we said this last weekend, probably one of the best Broncos off seasons in years, just because there's something to talk about every day. Like, I know there always is in the off season, but this year there really is. Like, we're almost spoiled because there's that many storylines. And even though, and that's the intriguing thing about this sport, we don't have a game for 9 months almost, and probably a very laid back or stretched back off season in terms of training camp, OTAs and stuff. Like, it's going to be intriguing, and I just can't wait. Let's get free agency started and see what Peyton does.
So let's get back to the quarterback. Let's put you on the spot.
Yeah, you already violated my question, so let's...
Who takes the first snap at quarterback for the Denver Broncos in the 2021 regular season?
Deshaun Watson.
Ooh,
I like it.
Yeah, I do like it. I do like that. That's pretty cool stuff. Okay, all right. Okay, so I want to change... Can we change gears? Can we switch from football to a little something different? It's still football, but I want to ask you a question. You kind of laid out sort of how you got interested in football, how you became a fan of American football, and sort of the progress there, the progression there. I'm curious to know, because I would say that the thing that is most fascinating to me is sort of the rise of your presence in the world of the NFL. And I mean that with all deference and appreciation for what you do, because it is sort of fascinating to me to have a bunch of dudes from Europe, right? You've got Broncos Europe, you've got Broncos France, you've got, you know, NFL, you know, England, you've got all these other places, right? And you guys all have this sort of community that you've created. How did that sort of come about? And then it's built itself into what you call, you know, you have the Irish NFL show. This is something that I think maybe it just popped onto my radar in the last year or two, but it feels like you guys have really sort of hit on something that people are looking for or are hungry for.
I really appreciate what you're saying there. Like, I can't take a lot of the credit. So basically, like, me and a few other guys started the English version of Broncos Europe, and then it just became evident, like, you know, you can't really call yourself Broncos Europe if you focus on one part of Europe, and sure, that part of Europe is technically leaving Europe, and that's a whole different conversation again for a different
Politics podcast, are scary. Don't get into politics now.
Oh, believe me. I'm from Ireland. I mean, politics is literally this country. Spain, France, Italy, Germany. I knew the guy that was in charge of Broncos España, great guy, Josevi from Valencia. Great guy. There's maybe 500 to 1,000 fans in Spain. Germany, there's anywhere from 5,000 to 10,000 Broncos fans. This might sound crazy, but I'm being completely serious. There's 3 or 4 fan groups. Italy shocks me. There must be 1,000, but I mean like hardcore Broncos fans. They stay up to all hours of the game. There's a group on Telegram. If I don't go on it for 2 days, 15,000 messages. I'm not even joking. It's insane. We're getting to the point now where I'm actually forgetting about the countries that we have. You know, it's great. France, there's some really good people involved. So like it's a real joint effort, and we all sort of just decided. So I was like, look, if I help out with the content, if we can get shows out in different languages at the weekend, let's do it. And it's just really worked out, and it's been a blessing. And we've partnered up with friends from Brazil now as well, so it helps us get people with obviously from Portugal as well. So like, you know, we've almost, you know, talk over Europe in that sense. But so it's going to be good for a game. I think that's when we're really going to see the benefit. And whenever COVID's over, we're planning, I'm hoping to have a meetup in Milan or in Madrid this year, most likely Milan because of the fans and where it's situated. But going back to your original question, like, you know, it seems like we've almost popped up. Yeah, I mean, like, it's the internet, because in the 80s in Ireland, I mean, like, the Americans sent tapes, videotapes over. And the people here would watch the game 8 days after it aired, because you know that's what Ireland was like. You know, Ireland's very sort of backwards in the sense it's only sort of catching up now. Would have been the same in the UK, and then it almost died off because of NFL Europe almost dying off to that extent. It's the internet. Like, you know, I sat as a 14-year-old, and it took me 45 minutes to download Hey Ya by Outkast. You know, and now you can stream whatever you want in seconds. You can, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I can see you boys laughing there, but I remember trying to stream football or soccer, and you know, it would be
you're young. I don't know that you ever had a dial-up modem. I'm not sure that I feel like your plight is as bad as ours.
dial-up, yeah, like I'm in between that sort of generation. Yeah, man, dial-up, like dial-up in the countryside in Ireland. I mean, like, that's why I never got into the game until like near 2009 2010, because there was no infrastructure there, but it was across the whole of Europe. And I think that's why it matters now, because we obviously have Game Pass over here. We can watch whatever we want in that sense. And then you got DAZN and all these different countries for fans. So it's great. I'm really looking forward to seeing the London game. And honestly, at full capacity, I'd rather wait and see it happen. But there's no reason why you couldn't have 20,000 to 25,000 Broncos fans at a London game if it was done properly. But the one problem that you have there is obviously the way in which the team plays. So if the team is doing well, it wouldn't be an issue. But of course, that's one thing you can sadly see over here is at the minute that engagement or maybe participation has been down a little because it hasn't been great over the last few years. But when we beat the Panthers, we probably could have had a ridiculous party in London in a stadium or something. But now it's like the draft's on and then you're like, oh, okay. But those times will come back.
Well, go to Milan. I'll join you. I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, sounds good.
Is there a team that's going to move to London in the foreseeable future? And it seems to be that a lot of people think it's going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars. But what's the talk over there? And is it something that you think is going to happen in the near future?
First of all, I don't think London deserves the team. I think it's shocking. I remember whenever the Premier League over here said that they were going to have a 39th game in New York, there was uproar to the point where teams were threatening to pull out of the league, and it was scrapped immediately. So I don't think we deserve, or, you know, I'm saying we, but I'm from Ireland, but like it's a whole European thing, I guess. We don't deserve a game. You know, London doesn't deserve 4 games. Europe deserves, Germany deserves games in Munich or Berlin. Ireland deserves a game at Croke Park, France in the Stade de France. The reality is there's never going to be a team probably in the sense where the Jaguars move to London. I just can't, like, I mean, there's obviously that whole situation where they've got that lot, the part, the lot J or whatever, and it's all coming up to votes with the council, whatever, in Jacksonville. I could see them moving somewhere else on the East Coast. I just can't see how London would get a team. And it's almost about the fact, you know, how do you work it out? I mean, let's say it happens. Like, how can you have a team in London that play, let's say, four games in London, four away games, like maybe going to the West Coast for four games? Where are they based? Where are their families based? And let's say it all works out. Like, the NFL done a great job this year. Let's say we get to January and they're in the AFC, and you get to the AFC Championship game on CBS at 8:20 Eastern, which is 1:20 a.m. in London, and the game's in Wembley. I mean, you know, I think, you know, honestly, what's more realistic, and you might laugh at this, but I think it might happen in my lifetime, and I reckon I have another 50 years still left, hopefully. I reckon we could see a Super Bowl. In the sense, why not have a Super Bowl at 9 o'clock at night, which is 4 or 5 Eastern, which might not, it might sound nuts to you boys, but why not? Like, why not have that aim? I just can't see a London thing happening because, you know, they need to build the game up over here. I think you're going to get to the point now where there's obviously going to be a huge boom for the game when COVID ends here, and whether that's this year or next year, and everyone will start talking about the game. But the reality is, if this whole 17th game happens, there's no reason why London can't have a good slate of games every year. And let's be honest, the teams don't have a choice. So the Packers will be eventually playing in London. They have never played in London. That would be the best of both worlds. If the Jaguars came to London, the best way I can put this without annoying the NFL UK, who are great, would be this. I wouldn't support them. Why would I support the Jaguars? Like, if somebody moved an NFL team to Boulder, would you guys start supporting them?
No. Why would they? Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, of course not, because we're Bronco fans. So why? I get what you're saying. You're already talking. You've got fan bases over there already. Now you're trying to force a team on different fan bases. I get what you're saying with that. And also, we have the Buffaloes in Boulder. You know, let's see you Buffs. Go Buffs. So
yeah,
shoulder to shoulder, people.
I'll say one thing though, right? Trevor Lawrence, Jaguars. I mean, okay, yeah. Why not? I mean, if it's gonna go okay for a few years, bring them over. Yeah, sure, whatever. I mean, I went to the Jaguars against the Texans 2 years ago. Oh man, no. That wasn't for me. £245 for a ticket.
Ooh, okay, that hurt. Yeah. Because that's like, just, you know, it's a dollar. I think the exchange rate's $1.40 for a pound right now. So you can do the math on that, because I can't. But it feels like a lot. The other question, you brought up the Super Bowl, holding one in London. I think that's a really interesting point. Would that be a really good way for the NFL to introduce sort of the NFL? Not to say that obviously Europe knows about the NFL, and obviously we have games that are played in Europe all the time, like, you know, except for the last few years because of COVID and whatnot. But would that be a good way to sort of build up that sort of feeling towards the NFL, and then maybe you end up with not necessarily a team that moves, but instead an expansion team? Like, would that be a way that you would get more support, or do you think it would need to be a team, not necessarily the Jaguars, but another team that would move to Europe? Like, that's like a 9-part question. Sorry.
No, it's fine. And Joe, I just realized when you're talking there, I think I probably came across as obnoxious or rude. I've obviously said I don't think London deserves a team. I'm more than happy for the Premier League or anything like that there to play in America. Of course, it's like, the world's a big place. People are entitled, whether they live in San Francisco or they live in Ireland, support whoever they want. So, you know, I have no issue with it personally. I mean, it would be interesting to see what happens. I think that a Super Bowl in London is a long way away. It would be an interesting way to bring people into the game, because you would be amazed at the level of interest. Super Bowl starts at 11:30 over here in the evening. You would be amazed at the level of interest over here. It surprised me. It's the highest viewing figures in 35 years this year, obviously because of COVID, for the Super Bowl. But yeah, I mean, like, it's the sort of thing where, yeah, it could help people come into the game. But for me, I just think having it on more TV stations. So, for example, in Ireland, I personally think the national broadcaster should have its own Super Bowl coverage. They don't. And that should be the way, because every other European country does. So I think it's going to take time, but with the internet, with the growth of the game, and the fact that, you know, soccer in itself is becoming too expensive, both on and off the field, I think the NFL is in for a massive growth. In the same way which I think the MLS will eventually take over baseball in the States. eventually.
Let's talk about it.
You're talking to some baseball fans here. Hang on now.
Boys, I'm literally joking. Don't worry. Okay.
You mentioned hurling at the top. When we had Colm on, he was talking about how incredible and remarkable and awesome
and insane
the sport is. Do you feel the same way? And is hurling this thing that Americans need to check out if they haven't seen it?
Colm's gonna kill me. But you get two types of Gaelic sports. You got football, you got hurling. Okay, so hurling's with sticks, if anybody hasn't heard of it before. With sticks, and people just go mad, and basically we say beat each other with sticks. You're gonna either be, so there's 32 counties in Ireland, and forget about the border and stuff, there's 32 counties, and each county is either a hurling county or a football county. I'm from a football county, so for me it's all about football, but I love hurling, don't get me wrong. I would tell people to check out both because it's great. Both have their own edge. You know, you would have people in Ireland that would watch that over any other sport. They would look at the NFL and think it's a joke. They would look at rugby as well and think it's a joke. And they would also look at soccer and think it's a joke and go, no, there's no sport for me like this. But I would recommend anybody check it out. You know, I'm lucky that my county, Tyrone, is quite similar to the Broncos because they had this unbelievable player in his sort of mid to late 30s at the start of the century who won a couple of championships and retired. So very similar to that there. Hurling's class. I mean, if anybody ever comes over to Dublin, go to Croke Park, go to a game if you can, because I can't describe it. That's why we deserve a London game in Dublin, because we've got a stadium that's 87,500, and one of the stands is a small hill. So if they built that properly, it would be 120,000. So yeah, that's just me being biased. Hurling's class, football's better.
Hurling's class, football's better. Now, Colm did describe hurling as I'm going to mess it up, and he can tweet at me and yell at me. I don't really care. He described it, I believe it was a mixture between, was it field hockey and murder? Is that how he described it, Ian? It involved murder. I can't remember the other sport. I feel like field hockey because of sticks and balls and things like that. Does that sound about right?
This is the thing. Like, I should be able to describe the sport in terms of trying to compare it to something, but it sounds about right. Yeah, like it is. Imagine like a more slimmed down baseball bat, but they're like you're just wrecking boys. That's the reality of it. But Colm's always going to say that because Colm's a Cork man, and Colm thinks Cork is almost like the capital of Ireland, but he'll never say it publicly. So there's a whole different thing there. But yeah, he's pretty much on the ball.
Awesome, that's awesome. All right, we talked about. I think we talked a little bit about sort of like your. You know, your show and some of your favorite guests and things like that. Who's the top of your list when it comes? Because you have had some great success. I say that because it's true. Who's at the top of your list? Who's the person that you had on that made you go, okay, I can't believe we just accomplished that? Like for us, it's Steve Atwater, right? We've had Steve Atwater on the show, or at least for me, it's Steve Atwater because it's Steve Atwater. But yeah. Who's the guy? Like who or the person? Anybody?
I tell you what, like I'll just say, this, Steve is fantastic. Doesn't matter if you're in China or Ireland or America, he makes time for anybody. He's fantastic. God, that's a really good question. You're probably gonna laugh at this, right? But like Scott Hansen's a god over here, like a god. Like my wife knows who he is, you know, that's to that point. I mean, that was incredible. But I guess the one time when we were like, how did we do that? How did we pull that off? It probably would be Jim Kelly. Like, I don't know how, especially in the year that Buffalo have had, like, you know, how did we manage or pull that one off? Because usually now, like it sounds like I don't want to sound cocky or arrogant. I'm really not like, I get to the point now where it's like, you know, okay, this person's coming on, grand, that's grand. So we just sit there. You don't even think about it. You don't get nervous. You just do it because you have the questions. So like, for example, when's the podcast going out?
Tomorrow morning.
Okay, right. So we got this guy coming on this weekend from NFL Network, right? So like I'd say 6 months ago, I'd be like, oh my God, like what are we going to ask him here? Where now it's just like, yeah, you just, okay, yeah. How are you, et cetera? So for me, like when Jim Kelly came on, I was like, oh boy, this is, you're like, wow, he actually logged on. Like, so he's on, hold on, he's on the Zoom call. Right, okay. But do you know what? Like, he's an absolute gentleman. And anybody that, like, we've been very fortunate. Like, I genuinely think, boys, that there's no secret here. We've just played the Irish card the whole time. Like,
and you should play like it all the time. I mean, play it.
We should start playing it. Can we play the Irish card? Is that a thing? Like,
but this is the thing. Like, Tom Brady's great. I hate saying that word in this podcast, but Tom Brady's great-great-grandfather is, well, has roots or was from about an hour down the road from me. So, like, we're going to try and play that at some point. Never going to happen in a million years, but I think, like, it's been a blessing. It's actually made us, it's allowed us to really open up our knowledge of the game as well, because there's one thing for me, like, saying, you know, oh, I started watching the game here, but it's been great for me to even, you know, branch out from the Broncos and try and discover different things about different teams as well, because it makes me realize how great of a franchise the Broncos are, and, you know, that we, you know, we will eventually get back to where we've been. Mike Singletary as well was pretty cool. I'm looking like he was.
I didn't know he was Irish.
He was pretty odd.
Sorry, that was. Well, I'm played. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, no, but like, we ask everybody in the show that comes on, have you any Irish heritage? And he just started laughing. And he's like, no. So it was funny. But yeah, no, he's been great. Like, you know, anybody that's came on has been great. And it's always good to see somebody just take it, just take a chance, because if you ask somebody, the worst they can say is no at the end of the day. So it's been a blessing. Really looking forward to seeing what we can do with it this season, next season. And honestly, hopefully we'll be in Denver in September and LA in February. That's the hope.
Who is your dream guest?
Elway. There's no, I would love to have, sorry, I should use his full name, Mr. John Elway on the show at some point. And you know what, like, that would probably be where I'd do it in Broncos Europe, because I would feel horrible if we'd done it on a different show that wasn't Broncos oriented, but it would be great. Like, I understand he's obviously taking a step back. That would be a dream interview at some point. Like, I know you guys are talking about Steve there. Like, I mean, when Steve came on for us, he was amazing. And he's just a gentleman. Yeah, I think he sat for over an hour and talked to us. But got to get Elway. Elway would be the one. And hopefully, please God, over the next few years, he'll see sense to come on. So anybody that knows John Elway and wants to, you know, tell him that we'll happily send a crate of Guinness over anywhere he's want, anywhere, or whiskey, or anything.
I'm sure he'd be happy to sit and have a whiskey with you. I would as well. I got to say, we really appreciate you coming on. Michael, it's been phenomenal. We love doing this. Like I was telling Ian in the last show, I love this season. This is interview season for us, right? During the season, we don't get to do as many interviews because we're, you know, plugging away at talking about the games and going over what happened. And so during the off season, we get to have people on, and this is your first adventure on our show. This is our 300th episode. And so, it's been a fun one. It's been a blast. I'm glad you could join us today.
Man, look, I'm blessed to hear him on the 300th episode, but I'm not just speaking for me, but for, I guess, for Broncos Europe, we appreciate what you guys have, you know, done for us and support over the last, this is our fifth season. And now I feel even worse because, Adam, we haven't had you on yet. So it have to happen this season.
Like I said, just a guy, just a guy.
I feel horrible now, though, but we'll definitely bring you on. And look, we, and Ian as well, we appreciate your help and support, lads, and obviously looking forward to the time we can all be back in Denver again. Hopefully we can all meet up and do something together, please God, in September. That's the hope.
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.